Alabama is joining a growing list of states that ban transgender youth from participating in high school sports. Another proposal to allow medical treatment to help with their gender transition failed to pass this legislative session. June is Pride Month. Here's Bailey Majors with part one of an ongoing series on transgender legislation that's expected to come back and how trans activists are already planning how to fight it.
I did transition to be hated. I transitioned so I can be comfortable in knowing who I am.
Carmarian D. Anderson Harvey is the Alabama State Director for the activist group Human Rights Campaign. She's breathing a sigh of relief with Senate Bill 10 failing to get a vote from Alabama lawmakers. She's a trans woman of color in the South, and she's able to, in her words, live her truth.
So I can advance through society in the most comfortable way and the most truthful way of who I know that I am. That's where I foresee these youth are at, and the supporting parents and the medical team.
SB 10 is also known as the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act. It would ban gender-affirming treatments like hormone therapy and surgeries for transgender minors in the state of Alabama. The term transgender and trans refers to anyone whose gender identity doesn't match the gender on their birth certificate.
This is a very important piece of legislation intended to protect our minors. We can expect to see this legislation again.
That's State Republican Representative Wes Allen of Troy. Senate Bill 10 is a companion bill to the legislation he introduced in the Alabama House this past legislative session. He says the fight to pass that proposal isn't over.
We want to protect children. And that's the sole genesis of House Bill 1 and Senate Bill 10, to protect children because they're minors, you know, and they don't understand and don't have the development yet because they're so young, to understand the implications of these powerful drugs.
Something activists are most concerned about right now is what they say is misinformation around legislation like SB 10. That includes Dr. Sarah Mulder, a Huntsville-based clinical psychologist.
There's a lot that I think the supporters of this bill really don't understand. So many myths and misportrayals of the scientific research.
Dr. Mulder is what's called an affirmative provider. That's someone in the healthcare field who supports and affirms the LGBTQIA+ community and patients. Those letters refer to anyone who's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, intersex, or asexual. Here's Dr. Sarah Mulder.
To listen to these organizations that support these bills, you would think that someone could walk into my office and within 10 minutes, I would give them a letter and strong-arm them into proceeding with medical treatment, which is simply not the case. What I look for as a provider in terms of supporting kids and their families and moving forward with medical treatment is I look for consistency in their gender identity over time.
Dr. Mulder says there's a lot of misunderstanding on what gender-affirming therapy and treatment actually looks like.
Puberty blockers and hormonal suppressants, about these really damaging lifelong problems they cause that, you know, are not supported by research. The majority of the effects that they cause are reversible. You know, providers are not cutting off genitals of kids and things like that. And in fact, in a lot of states, surgeons won't do surgeries for kids under 19.
State Republican House member Wes Allen supports the ban on gender-affirming therapy and procedures for trans minors. He says even if the surgeries aren't happening right now in Alabama, the legislation is still needed to make sure they don't happen in the future.
I talked to individuals on both sides of this issue, doctors on the opposite side, doctors on the side that agreed with us. I talked to individuals who are detransitioned, who are adults now, and we're seeking to make sure that these powerful drugs do not impact these kids.
Activists and affirmative providers say another area of distortion centers around the idea that many transgender people have to detransition. Clinical psychologist Dr. Sarah Mulder says that rarely happens.
There's a lot of misconstrual about the fact that so many kids go on to later regret their decision or detransition, which is simply not the case.
The National Center for Transgender Equality did a survey in 2015 on detransitioning. The group questioned nearly 30,000 people, and only 8% said they detransitioned. And of those who did, they said it was only temporary. Dr. Mulder says another big area of concern that comes with banning gender-affirming practices is suicide and self-harm.
Trans youth are at exceptionally high risk for suicide and self-harm. Rates of suicide attempts are alarmingly high, upwards of 40%. So treatment becomes really important to help keep these kids safe. Safety comes in the form of making sure they're getting the treatment that they really need.
With suicide rates so high among trans youth, activists like Carmarian D. Anderson Harvey with the Human Rights Campaign are calling for lawmakers to get more education training on transgender and queer topics and issues.
I think that it should be mandatory in all settings of an institution, lawmakers to receive a level of cultural competency that embeds the transgender community along with our other siblings in the LGBTQ community.
The Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act wasn't the only transgender-related legislation in the Alabama legislative session this year. House Bill 291 passed and has been signed into law. The proposal bans trans youth from participating in high school sports that correspond with their gender identity. We'll pick up there in the second installment of APR's Pride Month series. That's next week here on Alabama Public Radio. Bailey Majors, APR News in Tuscaloosa.